from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who puts the in menthol cough drops. It's all not the thaw, but the yawning part of menthol. The drawl, I guess, is actually the podcaster with a menthol drawl, not a Mensa drawl for sure. But me, like, what am I talking about? Menthol drawl? Well, I have usually a cough drop before I make this show. What show is this? It's time for Sleep With Me. A little bit of nonsense to help you get you to sleep. It's a podcast that puts you to sleep. And here's a couple of ways we keep the show going. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would Sleep With Me be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody. It's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz. Got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. Hey, Mr. Bart, a bunch of people work very hard to keep this podcast going. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson. Sounds like an earful. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. The Legend. Also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer. Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bart. I do the lullabies. Got a new album out. I think you'll really like it. You can get a copy at So I made a longer version of this credits song. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. So proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Vale Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mr. Bart. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. You know, a lot of people probably got smart speakers over there over the past few months. It's a great way to listen to the show or share it and say, hey, if you want to listen to that podcast I was telling you about, just tell your smart speaker, play Sleep With Me podcast. And then set a sleep timer. You can set it for 60 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, and 20 minutes, which is that. No, that's 2 hours, yeah. So it's an easy way. And that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, time, temperature, whatever's keeping you awake. You know, stuff from you're thinking about from the past or from the future or from today. You know, something you're still, you know, you're grappling with, whatever it is. I want to take your mind off of that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of create this safe place with some safe motions, some safe, I'm inviting you in with a universal underhand wave, the welcome wave, is the come on over wave. And then I'm making a universal symbol for rubbing a safe place down, also for buffing cars. It just happens to be the same symbol for that. I'm saying, hey, come on in. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents, go off topic. And then I'll change topics. Bobble topics. I think I maybe have talked about that. Just like I was carrying too many holiday gifts or holiday baubles, I've bobbled my baubles. If I had a catchphrase and I was some sort of like one of those things, like not big, was that thing called Big Mouth Billy Bass or something? Remember that was a big thing like 10 years ago. It was the first, and believe it or not, it took that long to have the first quality in-home animatronic, affordable and entertaining for a while, or when you come to visit the person who has the Big Mouth Billy Bass. It was a fish that sang, and that's all I really remember about it, other than to say, okay, that's enough with the Billy Bass. But what was my point? Oh, what was my point? I was talking about, I would have a catchphrase that I bobble my bobbles. And then maybe I would sing a song. You'd say, well, oh, what's that? Well, Big Mouth, Hot Air, Scooty Scoots, something. We'll figure out a better name. I guess it'd be good if I was in sloth, like I was a sloth. I could be the next home animatronic. And now they're mostly seasonal ones. But I could be that, you know, maybe I could, what about, I like singing Here Comes Peter Cottontail, but I don't think I'd like to be a seasonal thing. I don't know why that song, it's the wrong season for that song, Scoots. Well, that's another song that I sing. It's the wrong season for that song. Also, I'm in the middle of a beginning of a podcast intro. So, I go off topic. I bobble my, you know, I get mixed up. If you're new, I don't know how we can't go back to that Big Mouth Billy Bass or whatever. Someone's like, Scooch, it was Albert the Fish singing fish. And I say, well, why did I think it was Big Mouth Billy Bass? Because it's saying the Billy Bass song. Oh, then why would you, could you say it was Albert? Well, that's what we called it at my house, Albert the Fish. Albert the Singing Fish. It never had any batteries, so what we would do is imagine it was singing, because Papa took the batteries out of it. That's why we actually never knew it was, even though it had a name tag that said Billy Bass on it or something. Oh, well, we just called it Albert the Singing Fish, and we would sing songs around Albert, one day willing that the energy in our hearts would make Albert sing, like a battery, you know, by battery-powered projection. And it turned out that's going to be my first, that'll be a new show, On the Couch with Scooter. The folks, you know, they say, well, that was my first patient, helping them overcome issues with unanimated animatronics. Yeah, that person was never satisfied with animatronics. What am I talking about? Oh, if you're new, you don't really need to listen to me. That's one thing. I think I've made that clear so far. There's also no pressure to fall asleep. So there's no pressure to listen, no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here for about an hour. You take your time drifting off. Fall asleep as you wish. I'm going to be here to keep you company. There's structurally what to expect. Show starts off with a few minutes of business. Then we have the intro. The intro is around 12 minutes or so of me. It's a show within a show where I kind of warm you up and cool you down at the same time. And I try to make a metaphor for the podcast. Then something pops into my head tonight. Clearly, it's rubberized talking fish that was so popular in the 90s, I think. Maybe it was the aughts. No, I think it was the 90s. Here's how I know it was the 90s, because when it finally appeared in my house, it was the aughts. So I said, okay, it must have been popular in the 90s then, because we still have it, and we still get a kick out of pressing that button and listening to that fish sing. I mean, I think one of the effective things they did, what is this, review cast? Well, it could be, but right now it's just the intro to an episode of Sleep With Me, where I was going to give my critical analysis of things that worked about Billy Bass. I think one thing that worked was Billy turned to look at you. Now, that may have, maybe we could get a 99 PI about this. Anybody listening, looking at, was that a design? Was that like one of those things? What do they call that? A failure becomes a feature. That's the story of this podcast for me. You say, well, my inability to stay on topic has become, because it seems like it's looking at you. And I don't know, I say, the fish is looking at me. Well, it's singing right to me. Goodness gracious. A talking fish. And I mean, I've said this multiple times. Every time I see it, I say, part of me says, you don't need to press that red button. I'll try to explain what it is once you explain what the pie. Okay, so structurally, there's an intro. It's really a time to either wind down for some listeners. A few listeners skip it. Some listeners fall asleep, but it's about 12 minutes of the show, a show within a show, a monologue. In between the intro and that part of the show will be a little business, and then there's some thank yous at the end. That's structurally what to expect. And yeah, you don't need to listen. Also, don't try too hard to figure the show out at first, which may be too late because I've been talking for 8 minutes. It's better if you kind of consume it passively. It could, unlike Billy Bass, which you could kind of choose whether to sing along or not. But just in case anybody's not familiar with this, because I know we have a global audience and a very diverse range of ages. Now, again, my dates may be incorrect, but at some point on TV, I think this was one of these TV things, like you'd buy it right from the TV. Not an infomercial, but when you'd be watching like TNT during the day on like a Sunday or a Tuesday, you'd see an ad, usually probably on a Sunday or Saturday in the daytime, you'd see an ad for this thing. And it was looked like a taxidermied bass, like fish, but it was clearly rubber. So it looked a little bit cartoony, and it was on a plaque, like just like a fishing relative had caught it and was mounting it out of pride. And I'm pretty sure there was like a fake thing, like they said Billy Bass, like a little plaque, like just like you'd say Uncle Freddy caught this fish, gave it a kiss but didn't meet his wish or something. It said Billy Bass. And then below it was a red button. If you press the red button, it's just weird that it took this long for this level of advanced animation to take place. Or maybe I'm like one of the few people who's still blowing its mind, but the fish would start to sing or do a little comedy, very vaudevillian, I'd say. I mean, I think it was mostly parody songs, but its tail would move, its side would move, like it was still in the predicament. I mean, I guess we never learned Billy Bass. Maybe, I don't know if that could fit in an episode of Sleep With Me. Billy Bass, My Story. Somebody remind me to think about at least doing that, because we don't know poor Billy Bass's backstory. And I guess no one's ever wondered or cared, but or the predicament of the action. Well, this is getting a little too metaphysical, but that Billy would sing to you and mouth would move, and it was pretty in sync. It had a pretty good speaker even. And I would bet the going price was like $19.95. And we never got it. I'm sure we asked, oh boy, can I get Billy Bass for Christmas? Or maybe we wanted toys you could play with, or I don't know. But at some point I went to my parents' cabin where they live, and there on the wall was Billy Bass. And I probably was like, 32 years old maybe. And I said, finally, my childhood dreams come true. And then I, you know, did it. I still do it. I say, well, I can think of a couple of songs Billy sings. And it even has a backing band, you know, somewhere inside of the fish. I don't know where that is. What was that? What was I trying to explain that for? I think because if I was, I was just wondering if I had a catchphrase. Billy Bass did not have a catchphrase as far as I know. It didn't say, I'm Big Mouth Billy Bass, just stuck here singing, because that's what I love to do, is keep you humans entertained. I think it was probably someone saying, this is my reincarnation, and it happened to be an evolutionary change in reincarnation, where I just didn't get reincarnated as a bass, but then when we tried to transfer the bass to the big farm, I got the power to sing and then, you know, become mass marketed and sing everywhere. But I'm oh so happy. That's what Billy Bass really wants you to know. Anyway, so this podcast, it goes off topic, so you don't need to listen to it, so that it takes your mind off whatever was keeping you awake. I'll be here. The rest of the episode will be a little bit less, you know, divisive, where you say, yeah, I won't say those words again, but I guess I have to about Billy Bass, but later I won't be saying it. So it'll be a little bit, but, you know, it's here to keep you company, to take your mind off stuff as you drift off. You fall asleep whenever you want. If you're new, give it a few tries. Most of the people that review the show say it took 2 or 3 tries before I got used to it and really started working, because I realized it was kind of nonsensical goofing around. Yeah, but the reason I make the show is because I've been there, tossing and turning, unable to sleep. And I'd like to help if I can, because I can relate to it. I just want to help. So give it a few tries, see how it goes. I really appreciate your time. So thank you so much for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we keep the show going. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. All right, everybody, we're talking series two, episode six, Rise of the Cyberperson. And it opens in a lab, very much like a famous novel by Mary Shelley. We see a lab coat, we see a switcher, plunger turn, we see a man's mouth talking, powers on, a silhouette against the light, something test, it's working, and the man's voice, who we see his intense face, his driven face, he says, hardly, I think hardly is the wrong word. That would only apply to machines, he says. And the scientist says, no, sorry, sir, it's alive, a.k.a. Mary Shelley. Skin of metal, a body that never ages, I envy it. And then the man, who seems to be in some sort of mobile chair with a bunch of devices, says to the being, do you know me? Do you know me? He says, answer, do you know me? A couple times. And he says, you're John Lumick, robotic voice, says. And the guy smiles and laughs, says, my child. He says, great job, Kendrick, Dr. Kendrick. And the Dr. Kendrick says, yeah, it's great. I just got to check in with Geneva and Jean-Luc Picard. We just created a new form of life. The great Picard conventions, we have to follow those. And I have to inform them. It's my ethical duty. What does this say? Worcester. Well, his chair's wooden. And he says, well, it's my ethical duty to do whatever I please. Then we realize he's in some sort of ship because he says, we have a new destination. We see some portholes even. Set sail for Great Britain. And we got rid of that scientist with his pesky ethics. Next thing you know, we'll have to deal with Chidi and the Soul Squad if we don't play our cards wrong. Then we get to the TARDIS, and it's kind of like Mickey's kind of getting a third wheel treatment. Rose and the Doctor are in a deep conversation. Mickey's left out. They're doing inside jokes about past adventures. I don't know if this was ever an episode or episode at all when they're joking about something. And they say, oh, you wouldn't get it, Mickey. It was, you had to be there. Asteroid, not a planet. Long story. And we realize Mickey's been holding a button. And he says, how long have you been holding that button for? And he says, a half hour. He goes, oh, you could let it go. And Doctor almost cracks up and he goes, Mickey, have you been holding it that whole time? Did you forget? I was pushing the button. Mickey says, you just forgot all about me. You're too busy with your inside jokes. And Rose is giggling and laughing the whole time. And the Doctor says, no, I was calibrating. He goes, when could I have stopped? He goes, 10, 20 minutes ago. And then there's trouble with the time vortex with a capital T and a V that rhymes with vortex and Gore-Tex. And they say, we're going to make a quick landing. Unplanned one, get ready. And even things are released from the ceilings. And then the Doctor says, geez, the TARDIS, I think the TARDIS went to the big farm. He's not happy. And for a second or two, I actually believed it. Even in a second, I said, he says, she's perished. There's things on strings, to assist in landing. And he says, then the TARDISes are extinct. And, you know, doctors, and the doctor says, well, we've landed out of the vortex, out of the void, into nothingness. We're in some sort of no place, a silent realm, the lost dimension. Mickey says, otherwise known as London. He's outside. We see a regular part of London, England, Earth. Mickey grabs the paper, February this year. Not far flung at all. And the next says, really, you're London. The one we just left, bang on, with the zeppelins and airships. And they say, wait a second, beautiful, but maybe it's a zeppelin festival. We don't know. You know, it could be that thing. And Doctor goes, no, this isn't, it's parallel. We're in a parallel world. Same date, a different world with zeppelins. Mickey says, well, maybe it's just a zeppelin world. He actually knows from the movies. He says, yeah, it's an alternative, but just a little different, just with the Zeppelins. Maybe no Tony Blair, maybe different streetlights. But then Rose says, well, my dad's here. He's on a billboard or a sign selling some sort of drink, light cherry Vitex. Trust me, he says, or something. Trust me on this, that's what he says. And doctor says, stop looking at it. You can't see him. It was a cherry flavor, new cherry flavor. And he says, if you ever trusted in me, you can't, that's not Pete. You know, you can't, he goes, don't worry. It's a different world. You can't get involved. You can't see yourself, your own version of yourself or your parents. He goes, didn't we go through this already once? When you went to the face, but we keep hearing him, Pete, say, trust me on this. Then he's driving in a Lexus to a country manor, and Pete 1 is his license plate. He's in a suit. He rolls up, flowers under his arms. We see Jackie, who's in a bad mood. She's turning 40, and she's not happy about it. I said, well, 40 is the new 28, from what I've heard. There's something about Cuba Gooding Jr. I don't know if he's coming to her birthday party. And she's calling Rose. She's not happy that it's, trust me on this, that it, her birthday. He said, well, it's your 39th birthday. Oh, no, it is. It says happy 40th, the thing. And I said, really? No offense, but I said, is Jack, you're really 40? And Pete, I said, man, And she says, my 10th or 39th birthday. I was born on the same day as Cuba Gooding Jr. That's it. Then she calls Rose a few times, and it turns out Rose in this universe is a dog. The stairs are decorated with willow branches for her birthday. And he tries to give flowers to Jackie, but she won't have them. She says, your secretary bought them. Lumic calls, he gave a new Bluetooth to Jackie. Lumic calls Robe the world below Kinrondi. I don't know what that means. We'll figure it out though. There's Rose the dog. The world believes. Here's a Lumic calling. Hey, those are handmade ear pods. So tell Jack to be careful, of course. Are you coming to the party? No, we're taking over the world tonight, more or less. That's what he says. We're going to meet the president of London. Or the president. Plans have advanced. President, we're going to be at the airship, strip of five. He goes, well, it's my wife's birthday. I promised. The guy goes, world domination waits for no one. President of Great Britain, by the way, Scoots. He goes, this is going to be a famous day, Mr. Tyler. You get on it, Pete. He does an ear pod override, Lumic does, with voice commands. Subject Jacqueline Tyler. And he gets every secret info he needs as Jackie's putting on her makeup. We see how they... the ear pods work to kind of thing. He goes, I need everything for the party. So I guess this is a little foreshadowing of Lumic. Thank you, Picture Link, Mr. Crane, Extra Staff. I don't know what that is. We'll get to it, though. TARDIS, then we go back to the TARDIS. We'll see. Jackie, still getting ready. He says, thank you, Mrs. Tyler. Oh, yeah. Then he calls. He's got FaceTime. This is years earlier. He calls Mr. Crane. He says, get me some more peeps. We're moving. Action time, bruh. Oh, yeah. Extra staff. Then we're in the TARDIS. The doctor is mad at Mickey because Rose walked off. The doctor and Mickey, something, comedy, hurt feet. So somebody kicked something and they hurt their foot, or somebody hurt his foot. And then we see Rose is sitting. There's some thinking music and Zeppelins. We see a free trial text for Cybus. Oh, Cybus shares are down because of something about Torchwood. These are different texts or advertisements or something through Rose's phone. Then we are Dr. and Mickey. Let's see. So here's Rose. She's looking at the Zeppelins, enjoying herself, chilling. Then there's her free trial. News of Cybus Industries, though doubling in price. In other news, Torchwood Institute has a study claiming that. We're not meant to be here. That's what the doctor says. This is the wrong universe, and the TARDIS gets its power from the right universe. So it's like putting diesel in a petrol engine. And Mickey goes, it's on the comics. It was easier. And the doctor goes, this is the real world, dude. It used to be easy when the Time Lords were, you know, watching everything. You could pop in and out, but that all went away when, you know, now I'm the only Time Lord. Worlds get sealed off, walls of reality closed, and everybody got a little bit less kind. And Mickey goes, well, why are we here? Dad goes, by an accident. Should have been impossible. Now we're stuck. But then the doctor sees something, a little spark, and a little glowing down a green light. Reflection? No, it's a light. We've got power, Mickey. We've got power. So doctor's pumped. That's what they needed. Then we see a truck offering sweet tea, not true, temptation, come and get it. But a dude films it. Then we have another It's Alive moment. The doctor says it's a Mickey about the TARDIS, though. As we see, what does it say? Donut holds your little Groot light. But I think that probably says the doctor holds a little green light, crystal blows on it. It's hypnotic, but it can regenerate its energy. There he's blowing on the crystal, and it's getting more and more green. Doctor's smiling big. He goes, I just gave away 10 years of my life, to the crystal, worth every second. Rose is searching Peter Tyler on her phone, Googling him. 24 hours it's going to take the TARDIS to recharge. We learn that. We've got to keep our heads down. Then they find Rose. She's sitting on the back of a chair. Rose never there. Doctor tries to swipe her phone. And she goes, I want to see them. Doctor goes, and Mickey goes to break out. I think they were both like putting the burner on the doctor, saying, geez, man, you're too, because he gives a really harsh, a stern look, or maybe Mickey does. So let's see how it plays out versus how I remember it. And then we have a Zeppelin landing. So now they're all three talking. Doctor's lecturing Rose. She goes, there is no Rose Tyler in this world, so don't even worry about it. My dad and mom married. And they're rich, totally rich. Everything my mom would have wanted, probably, except for me. So then she stands, she's touching her phone, debating, and she goes, yeah, I'm going to go see them. And doctor said, I can't let you. She goes, we can't, 24 hours, can't be their daughter. He says, yeah, Mickey, tell her. He goes, 24 hours, I'll see you. I got stuff to do. And then Rose and Mickey walk off in two directions. So Doctor can't, and he's just saying, stop, you know. A lot of cool focus pulls. I don't know if that's what they're called. Mickey says, geez, well, I'm just a spare part anyway. It's a theme we've been seeing this season. He goes, so you can only go after one of us, Doctor, and you're not going to chase after me. I know that much. That's what Mickey says. Then we have Zeppelin landing, ominous music, Mr. Tyler, Mr. President. Basically, the president's like, what does this dude want, man? He goes, why you work with them? What does pop mean? Oh, he goes, what do you do again? You sell pop and pretend it's a health drink. That's wrong. He goes, what do you think of this Illumic anyway? Then we see Mickey walking. There's like a checkpoint they have to go through. They say, make sure to stick to curfew, bruh. Then there's some emotional music. Rose reveals to the doctor some of Mickey's history about his mom. And the doctor goes, I never knew that. And she goes, you never asked. You just take him for granted. Then something about a gingerbread house. Beep a boop. What about a gingerbread house? Let's see if it comes up. But then there's a beep boop and everyone stops. They get these Bluetooth broadcasts over their earpieces. And Divide has friendship bracelet. Invade has a friendship bracelet type earring. Oh, dude, a dude with a friendship bracelet earring. There's a news update downloaded into everyone's Bluetooth heads, the jokes, everyone laughs robotically. Then they go back to their normal lives. Dad goes, you lot, you're always obsessed with the latest things. And then the doctor gives in to Rose to see her father and mom, just to check in and look. Mickey knocks on a door, and the older woman answers his mother figure. First she gives him a speech, then she says, Ricky, oh, it's you, big hug, but she's not happy. Rumors and whispers, I told you to fix the carpet, so it is a thing, from his history, if you watch the episode. And he says, sorry. And he says something about, let's have a nice sit down and a cup of tea. I don't like those friends of yours. Let's see. Here's the bleep loop. I don't see the gingerbread house part. But she goes, yeah, somebody told me about your van with your friends. Then a blue van pulls up and they grab me. And they say, Mickey, get in the car. Or Ricky. It's a Sprinter van. It has a portable dash fan. I noticed that. There's a guy with a friendship bracelet earring. It's all downloading to Rose's phone as well. Pete Tyler, Waterton Street, SC15. That's where Mickey's headed. A lot of buildings for sale there. Ricky, Mickey, even his grandmother has a Bluetooth or his mother figure. Okay, here's the van pulls up. They say, hop in, Ricky. Let's roll. We've been looking for you everywhere. So he's important, clearly, in this parallel world. But his grandmother, who does this, says, and they said, what are you doing talking to your family? You said, no, don't do that, Ricky. You told us. He goes, yeah, of course you did. And then this guy, he's kind of from a boy band. He says, they got the tape, man. What does it say? Cybus sustaining the brain. Ultrine update. Boardroom has lots of meters in it. Still go to the parody, though. So that's, we'll see. This is, I think this is the next scene. It's in a boardroom. President of Great Britain. And Ultrine. Oh, here it is. Lumix making a presentation. We've perfected a way, Cybus Industries, to sustain the brain. Keep sustaining the brain. Just like Cypress Hill sang 30 years ago. and extend existence beyond the big farm. Ultimate upgrade and a great step into cyberspace. Then we're in the boardroom. It's a mix of not steampunk, silverpunk or something. Some old school. The president says, no way, bruh. He goes, I can't give you permission. And no one will. He goes, in fact, I got an ethical paper ready to go. Signed off by world president of ethics, Anna Gonye. And Lumix says, I don't got much time left. And the president goes, none of us do, man. Get with reality. And this guy goes, I've helped the whole planet, Lumic. Where's my stuff? And President Greenberg says, you're just a business person. You're not a god. Don't play god. Get over it. And he goes, Mr. Chow, see you at that birthday party. Can't wait. Could definitely go for a drink. Lumic, I'm out. There's something about New Germany. You may leave. Override word. Oh, that's what Pete says. Hey, there's always New Germany. Guy goes, this is my homeland, my birthplace. You may leave. And then he says, override systems or something, probably. I'm watching. Mr. Crane, ready and waiting, sir. He goes, did the override work? He goes, well, it needs some fine tuning. He goes, kind of rushing me, but it's working. He goes, I've been testing the system. So then he shows how you can make the Bluetooth use people to march and stuff like that, back to back, left to right. Then something, this sounds like something Mickey. It's irresistible. And then somebody says, and resist. He's joking around. Crane, he says, it's irresistible. And the guy, Lumic, says, resist and quit joking around. And something about tracks 90. I don't know what that means. Let me see if I could. I don't know what that means. To come noise in the lion sleeps tonight. In the jungle, lion sleeps tonight place. Lots of, a steam pipe factory. Lots of steams and pipes in the factory playing lion sleeps tonight. Yeah, we see a cool factory with smokestacks. Then we're back with Team Ricky. And they sneak in and they find Ricky. So we were with Team Mickey. And then we meet Ricky, which, that could just throw you off any day of the week. And they says, so who's this dude who looks exactly like me? Then we have Rose and the doctor waiting for the birthday party to start, watching the arrivals. February 1st, Cuba Gooding Jr. and my mom's birthdays. Miss something. So then they go. They sneak in as caterers with the psychic paper. Who do you want to be? Well, we end up being caterers. We couldn't have been important guests. Servants. Lucy says that the president of Great Britain's here or something. A lot of other famous people. Pete makes a speech about his wife's 39th birthday, gets a big laugh. Jackie Tyler introduces, it's kind of like a, I've never been to a cotillion, but it was a bit like a cotillion, maybe. Everyone claps at Jackie's arrival. Rose is kind of stunned because Jackie's like, she says, I'm not giving a speech. No work, no politics. It's just plenty of partying, good mates. Well, she laughs and she says, sorry, Mr. President, you're my mate too. Let's enjoy. Doctor's ready to break out. We meet Rose the dog, which gets a big laugh from the doctor. And Rose says, this is kind of blowing my mind. I got my mom at home and then this mom here, and they got each other. But my mom doesn't, have somebody at home. I mean, she does, the supermarket guy, but. And the doctor says, well, she's all these different worlds. No one gets it perfect. Then we see Robot Patrol. Big laugh from the doctor about the dog. Yeah, he laughs there. He's laughing. He tried not to, but Robot Patrol, stop something. Are we mobile? there's Mr. Crane, like, moving the robots out on patrol. Probably Lumic wants to know, are you mobile, dude? Some worker's like, what the heck is this? He goes, the future, bruh. He goes, start the truck. We're taking, he goes, and now somebody's calling him Lumic. He goes, yeah, Crane, are we mobile? He says, almost, working on it. He goes, what about you? He goes, get the factory ready. My Zeppelin's, he goes, send them forth and let the good work begin. Just about I'm arriving, prepare, like, good word begins. Then we see shirtless Mickey. I think Ricky, Mickey's shirtless. Let's check his, he's in pretty darn good shape too. He's not as jacked as Chidi was, like our last hero that we saw shirtless, on a show, but he's in really, really good shape. More of like a soccer body than a weightlifter body. Cool tattoo. You know, he's playing off himself, acting. So that's enjoyable. He's jacked. Gets scanned. No earbuds. Equals freedom or something. But the Ricky character's trying to figure out who the Mickey one is. There's a boy band dude and a woman. All the characters will meet in the next episode because this is a two-parter. He goes, he looks at me, but he's not the same. Oh, Jake's a boy band dude. He goes, Mickey goes, who are you? He goes, we're the preachers. It's in gospel truth. Free from ear pods, man. We don't do the Cybus downloads. We got freedom. Just like George Michael's saying. And we're taking Lumic down, unless you're in it. He goes, from a kitchen? Mickey goes, in a kitchen. You're the toughest people in London. Ricky's trying to be tough. And then they go, we got a message from Gemini. Then we hit a Gemini. Lumic's making a move. So then we go into full action mode. With Lumic and Mickey Ricky crew, all of them. Locked and loaded, someone said. Action van. Oh, yeah, here we go in the action van. Of course, Mickey's like, what am I getting myself into here? He's, you know, like me, be worried. Then we go back to the party. The doctor sees a computer in a room, sneaks in. Jackie's laughing it up with the president of the UK. Pete rolls up on Rose and says, how you doing? Rose says, his face, fake thumbs up. Can you trust me? Joke. Let's see what happens. Here's the doctor scanning the computer. There's Rose cracking up with, Rose is holding, barely keeping him, level. Pina cider in the George, champagne, sir, Rose says, Pete. And he's pretty charming. Rose is like a big night. He goes for Jackie, he goes, at least she's happy. And they say, yeah, she should have a good party. Oh, yeah. You can trust me on this. Oh, that's the fake thumbs up. Rose says, yeah. Pete laughs. And then Rose says, well, how long you two been married? Pete says, 20 years. And she goes, no children, huh? And Pete says, yeah, we couldn't get around to it. You know, Jackie wasn't totally, he goes, yeah, complicated, right? Rose goes, well, you never know. She's 40. And he goes, nope, 39. And Pete goes, well, her relationship's in a transitory state in an alternative universe. Anyway, I shouldn't be telling. He goes, have we met before? And Rose kind of just stares at him. And then he goes, I don't know. And then he goes, okay, I got to get out of here. He looks just sort of right. That's what he says. And then he says, Stevie, how's Torchwood? What's up? So we do these little Torchwood references. Making a move, Rose. Haven't met. You seem just sort of right. Elevator music. Then Vitek's Millhouse Stakeout. There's a stakeout. Shut it, duplicate. That's what Ricky says to Mickey. We got to make a move. And then we see a bunch of metal men on the march, right out of a van. The cyber folks. They're cyber people, not cybermen, as the episode says, because they are. But they march. The doctor's hacking a computer. Rose creeps up on Miss Tyler outside having a smoke. Or she's cold. I couldn't tell. Cold air. Oh, last cup of tea. She goes, can I get you anything? And she goes, 20 years. First they share a moment about tea and having tea at night. Two sugars. Jackie's actually being nice. So she's vulnerable. But then Rose kind of gets too close. And she goes, I don't know you. Jack the Lad. He's a Jack the Lad. I didn't look that up, what that meant. Nice bloke. Worth a second chance, don't you think? And that's when Jackie says, you're nothing but staff. You're not getting paid for tonight. Who do you think you are? And Rose goes, just a serving girl. Then we see spotlights of the marching metal. Cyberspace, Rose stares, the doctor looks to the window, he goes, it's happening again, the actor says, again, Cybermen crash the party, cyber beings, really, and Lumic says, I forbade this, oh no, maybe that's what the, oh, that's what the president said, to Lumic, I forbade this, yo, people without humanity, no emotions, and someone says, good night, sir. I think this was on the phone with Lumic, and he says, good night, Mr. President. Do they have one tear? They kind of, Cybermen look like they have one tear in the corner of their eyes, though. And then it said, what in the H-E-double-L? I said, where in the hell is Harry Jones? That's what I put. And then there's a cyber takeover. Rain room with Peter, Jackie in the basement. They run with Peter and Jackie. The doctor, here's the president's about to make a speech. Let's see what he says here. Lumic, Lumic goes, yeah, crashed the party. How about that? Hardy har har. He goes, he forbade this. He goes, these are my children, my family. And Rose goes, are these robots? And the doctor goes, worse. People without humanity, that's what he says, what I said earlier. Maybe they do. It does look like they have a tear in the side of their eyes, though, but on the wrong side, not on their tear ducts. Heart of steel, motions removed, so they don't have to worry about that. President demands, who are these people? He says, Lumic says, I elevated them, life eternal. And now I leave them in your hands. Good night, Mr. President. And then that's a robotic takeover. Upgrades. Everybody gets an upgrade. You get an upgrade. You get an upgrade. So then Rose and the doctor run. Jackie's in the basement trying to hide out. Robots can't run. They can only walk fast. Then we see Ricky or Mickey. Rose gives one of them a big embrace. And then the doctor says, we surrender. Because the president tries to stand up for them. And they say, well, no, you're getting upgraded. You're not compatible or something. And now everybody's on the run. Everybody's getting upgraded to cyber people. Jackie's hiding. Everybody's caught. Ricky and the boy band, they try to stop the bots. Rose hugs him, but even though he doesn't know her, he goes, who in the heck are you? And then Mickey comes. He goes, that's not me. That's like the other one. And the doctor goes, two Mickeys. And the dude goes, it's Ricky. Then more bots. They're totally surrounded. They say, we're going to have a standoff. Doctor says, no. Cut it out. Have you seen it? Don't you know what the Daleks are? He goes, we surrender. Hands up, everybody. we surrender. But they say, no, 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 we're going to, you're not compatible. Delete, delete, delete your rogue elements. And the doctor goes, we're surrendering, you know. And that's how the episode is, ends on an inferior delete. He goes, maximum deletion. Delete, delete, delete. And that's how the episode comes to a conclusion. Now let's run through a couple of things that came up. Cyber, the term C-Y-B-E-R on Wikipedia. Let's see what that entry says. It can be from cybernetic, from the Greek for skilled in steering or governing. May also refer to cybernetics, which if you played StarCraft, I think there was a cybernetics building. A cybernetic organism or cyborg. Cyberspace, which is a global technology agreement. Cybernetics is a transdisciplinary study of control and communications. Let's see. So that's just a little bit about the whatever that call it thing is. What about Geneva Conventions? So I just looked that up. It's four treaties with three additional protocols, about humanitarian treatment. The singular term Geneva Convention refers to the agreements in 1949 after WW2. Which updated terms of two 1929 treaties and updated two new conventions. It defines some basic rights, protections for people, civilians, ratified in 49, 196 countries. Let's see, what the history was, the Swiss business person, Henry Dunant was visiting people after something happened and said he published a book in 1862, A Memory of Solferino, and it actually inspired him to create a humanitarian aid agency and a treaty of neutrality. And this sounds like a powerful thing, but like this is just a Wikipedia history, but it led to the establishment of the Red Cross in Geneva, and then the 1864 Geneva Convention, the first codified international treaty that covered these kind of humanitarian type of things. On August 22nd, 1864, Swiss government invited the governments of all European countries, as well as U.S., Brazil, and Mexico, to attend the conference. So it's just a little brief thing about that. And then what about Geneva in general? I've never been there. Would love to check it out. Let's see. Second most populous city in Switzerland after Zurich. It's the most populous city in the French-speaking part of Switzerland. It's situated where the Rhone leaves Lake Geneva. Let's see, population of about 200, just under 200,000, and metropolitan area about 500,000, and the general region just under 1 million to 1.26 million. The commuter area, they say. Global city, financial center of diplomacy, headquarters of the UN and the Red Cross, highest number of international organizations in the world. 2017 was ranked as the 15th most important financial center. Let's see. It was mentioned in Latin text by Caesar. Let's see what else. That's just a little bit about it. Let's see, topography. What is the normal temperature? Mount Blanc is there, which tops out 1,230 feet, 375 meters. Lowest elevation is the river, 370 meters. So it's definitely above sea level, 1,214 feet, 370 meters above sea level. Let's see, it's got, surrounded, that's just a little bit about it. There's a lot more you can link to it and learn more. What about vortex? Vortices, vortex, region in a fluid where the flow revolves around an axis line, which may be straight or curved. They form in stirred fluids, smoke rings, whirlpools, tropical things, dust. They're a major component of turbulent flow, also time. The distribution of velocity, vorticity, the curl of the flow velocity, as well as the compact concept of circulation are used to characterize vortices. In most vortices, the fluid flow velocity is greatest next to its axis and decreases in inverse proportion to the distance from the axis. A key concept in the dynamics of vortices is a vorticity, a vector. Oh, yeah, we kind of covered that. So there's a lot more to learn about it, you know, and there's a... But just a little surface thing. Say, hey, what is a vortex? I'd love to know. I mean, a vortex feels like, but there's Zeppelins in this episode. And I said, what about Zeppelin, the band, which is probably now considered an oldies band. It was classic rock when I was a kid. An English rock band, Led Zeppelin, L.E.D. Zeppelin, formed in London in 1968. Jimmy Page, Robert Plant, John Paul Jones, and John Bonham. A guitar-driven sound, on the leading edge of heavy metal, but influenced by blues, psychedelica, and folk music. They changed their name from the Yardbirds, and they signed a deal with Atlantic Records, but they had a lot of freedom. They were initially unpopular with critics, but had commercial success through 8 studio albums from Led Zeppelin, in 1969 to In Through the Outdoor in 79. And then Stairway to Heaven, everybody knows. If you've ever been to a school dance and you wanted to dance with someone, that's a long song. They've had a lot of ups and downs, but they're considered one of the most successful, innovative, and influential groups in rock history. One of the best-selling music artists in the history of recording. Record sales at somewhere between 200 and 300 million units worldwide. And the second best selling band in the U.S. With certified sales of 111.5 million units. Let's see any more history. They were like after the Beatles, but not as influential as the Beatles, but pretty influential. Let's see, in 66, Jimmy Page joined the Yardbirds. And as a bassist, and switched to guitar, and had a dual lineup with Jeff Beck. Then Jeff Beck departed, and they got worn out from constant touring. Page wanted to have a super group with him and Beck, Keith Moon, John Entwistle, and Steve Winwood. That didn't work out. Yeah, but it looks like in that, let's see, this is pretty complicated, but eventually they hooked up with John Paul Jones, then formed a new lineup, with a couple of new lineups. Then they found Robert Plant, who was in Band of Joy, and then that's how they also got John Bonham. Oh, then John Paul Jones joined. They played the first time in Below a Record Store in Gerrard Street in London. Page wanted to attempt a Train Kept a Rollin' Jump Blues song, performed in a rockabilly version that Yardbirds had been covering. And he said, as soon as I heard those drums, John Paul Jones said, we're on to something. There's just a little bit about them. Check out one of their albums if you've never listened before. And finally, this is a aspirational thing, but I always see Lexus, and I said, where did Lexus come from? Like, at some point, when I was a kid, it became synonymous with the best luxury car, but a lot of other luxury models, are old models, like Royals, Rolls-Royce, Mercedes-Benz, BMW. But at some point, Lexus became this luxury standard for a vehicle, in the U.S. at least. And I just said, where did it really come from? I mean, I know it's owned by Toyota, and it's a luxury division of a Japanese automaker, Toyota. It's marketed in more than 70 countries. Japan's the largest selling make of premium cars. It originated from a corporate project to develop a new premium sedan codenamed the F1, which began in 83 and culminated with the launch of the Lexus LS in 89. And subsequently, they added a sedan, coupe, convertible, and SUV models. It didn't exist in a brand in its home market till 2005. And all vehicles marked internationally as Lexus from 89 to 2005 were released in Japan under Toyota name. Let's see. They're largely produced in Japan as part of the F1 project in the 80s. In 86, they worked with Saatchi and Saatchi to form a unit, Team One, to handle the marketing of the new brand. So this is, I'm surprised there's not, maybe there is like a documentary about how they did this, because this really is amazing. Let's see, they had an image consulting firm. They went through a list of 219 prospective names. Alexis, E-A-L-E-X-I-S, was the front runner. But then they said, well, what about Dynasty? There's a character there. And it eventually morphed into the term Lexus. Luxury and elegance, it kind of associated. It was launched in 1989, F1 project. The LS was the first car. The LS400 was praised for its quietness, well-appointed and ergonomic exterior, interior, engine performance, build quality, aerodynamics, fuel economy, and value. But some critics said it had derivative styling and a suspension too compromising of handling for comfort. It was priced against other midsize six-cylinder luxury cars. It was rated pretty high by Car and Driver. And Lexus quickly established customer loyalty. And its debut was generally regarded as a shock to existing luxury. So they must have seen a gap in the market. Really interesting. I've never owned a Lexus. I have driven them before. I guess because it was so aspirational, I said, well, this is nice. But for me, any vehicle is pretty nice, you know. Just a little bit about Lexus. I hope you're having a luxury rest there in bed as I tuck you in. Thanks so much for listening. All right, I want to thank everybody that became a patron recently. I want to thank Misty, Amy, and Christy. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Gregory, Sarah, Jane, and Christine. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Ariel, Elliot, and Miles. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amber, Jackie, and Michael with K. Thank you, thank you. Carolyn, Daniel, and Valerie. Thank you, thank you. Jessica, William, and Jen. Thank you. Stephen, Julie, and William. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amy, Richard, and Yachim. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Huffanese, Natalie, and Nicholas. Thank you, thank you. Terry, Fan, and Elizabeth. Thank you, thank you. Haley, Isabella, and Chuck. Thank you, thank you. Kelly, Nonoyo, and Pillows. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lars, Elizabeth, and CD. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Brianna, Vicky, and Elizabeth. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Valerie, Danielle, and Catherine. Thank you, thank you. Tessa, Aaron, and Mike. Thank you, thank you. Lisa, Heather, and Michael. Thank you, thank you. Leslie, Tim, and Dari. Thank you. Victoria, James, and Lauren. Thank you, thank you. Cassandra, Camilla, and Stein, thank you, thank you. Emma, Anna, and Tyler, thank you, thank you, thank you. Garrison, Samantha, and Faith, thank you, thank you, thank you. And Elizabeth, thank you, thanks. Thanks, everybody, who supported the show on Patreon. Sleeping Me is listener-supported, either by people directly supporting the show, like the people we just heard listed, or people who support the sponsors, or we grow by people spreading the word. So thank you to all of you that help keep the show going. You can become a patron at sleepwithmepodcast.com/patron, P-A-T-R-O-N. It's just a value for value exchange. You're paying for the good sleep that Sleep With Me provides you. And what else? Super Amazing Proud Member of Night Vale Presents. Check out all the amazing shows they have at nightvalepresents.com. Remember PRX. You can see everything they're doing at prx.org. And here you go. Let me tuck you in a little bit better there. Let me tuck you in tight there. And good night. Thank you so much. Sleep well. All right, everybody. This is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on... in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only. And then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from. On Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is I think this is the 10 to I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story only versions of the show, the all intro, all night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't, like, automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, an all intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all in. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So, that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, that was episode 1 of that. or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off, and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Wildy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. Then Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback. Feedback at sleepinmepodcast.com. If you need support, support at supercast.com. And good night.